Long time no here, folks. What's going on? It's Joe Zen, back after a long hiatus with the 32nd edition of the Poppin' Questions podcast. A lot of you have been hitting me on Twitter, hitting me on Facebook, occasionally say something in the comments section about the Poppin' Questions podcast and where it's been and when it's coming back. And, well, here's your answer. I'm back. We're back now. And I don't want to really talk about, there's no good reason why I haven't recorded a podcast since June 17th, 2011. So we're not going to delve too deep into that. Instead, let's talk about what the Poppin' Questions podcast is, because I know I have a lot of new readers. I know that a lot of people are probably listening to the Poppin' Questions podcast for the very first time and are new to it and don't know what it is. So it's simple. 5 questions, all from readers, most of which come from my FormSpring account, formspring.me/JoeZenC. It allows you to answer, submit questions to me anonymously. So I don't know who is asking me these questions. I don't know what they look like. I don't know their names. Every once in a while, somebody will drop their identity and tell me who they are, but it really isn't important because for the sake of everybody who writes in and sends a question, I keep everyone's identity anonymous. I don't reveal anyone's identity. And the other thing is that I get questions sent to me to my email, feedback@untilIgetmarried.com, JoeZenC@untilIgetmarried.com. A lot of people send me questions there. A lot of people send me questions on Facebook. A lot of people even send me questions on Twitter. So I, just a courtesy that I extend to them, keep their identities from, I don't reveal their identities. And, I just kind of wing it. I pick the questions, but I don't rehearse any answers. So everything that you're going to hear from me, I'm kind of answering like it's asked for the very first time. And I just do my best. That's all I can do, folks. I don't have any music here. I'm just sitting here on my couch in my Harlem apartment, hoping that there's no sirens that go by and disturb the noise or disturb the podcast, but who knows? I live 3 blocks away from a police station, so things do get loud outside. In any case, like I said, I answer these questions from the heart. I don't know why you people ask me these questions, but I'm very grateful for them. And I want to encourage everybody to keep on sending me questions. If you just want to hear someone else that you haven't talked to, maybe somebody that doesn't know you that well, an outsider to the situation, and you just want to hear my thoughts because you like what you see in my blog, or you may think that I have an opinion on anything concerning love, dating, sex, or relationships. I'm always very humbled and flattered by the questions that you all send me, and I answer every question from the heart. It's just, I try to put myself in your shoes, and I say, look, if I were you, this is what I would do, or I have been you, and this is what I did, and I would do that again, or I would do it differently. So we're just going to go ahead and get right into these questions and see what we come up with, okay? And then at the end, I'll lace you all with a couple of announcements regarding UntilIGetMarried.com. So the first question is, the past 2 months, I've been hanging out a lot with a guy. This obviously is from a female. I'm going to assume it's from a female. We're attracted to and care about each other, and he tells me all the time that I'm an amazing woman. Aha, there we go. It is a female. This is a woman. But he has a girlfriend of over a year. We've cuddled but never kissed. Any chance he'd leave her for me? There's absolutely no chance that he would leave her for you. Okay? If you two have cuddled but you've never kissed, that he has you sealed up in the friend zone. You can't, right now, you can't even appeal your sentence. Okay, you've been sentenced to the friend zone, and that is where you stayed. I mean, 2 months of hanging out, he's cuddled with you, but he's never kissed you. I mean, clearly he wants to just be your friend. If there may be some feelings there, and maybe he is loyal to his, obviously he wants to be loyal to his girlfriend, and he doesn't want to go too far over the line by engaging in intercourse or kissing you. Maybe he thinks that those are deal breakers, that he just can't do those things, but he can cuddle with you. But I'm just going to, I mean, if I was a man that was interested in a woman on the side, and we were talking about whether or not I should leave my girlfriend to be with her, before I do that, I would probably take it as far as I can go with her. That's just speaking as a man that's actually, like, you know, for better or for worse, done this sort of thing. I'm not about to leave my girlfriend for a woman that I've never kissed or never spent the night with in a more intimate way, and I've only cuddled with. If I'm only cuddling with you, well, that just means that we're friends. So don't get your hopes up too much. Don't go waiting around for him. And honestly, find someone else. You know, don't play into this. Don't let him have his cake and eat it too. And just be his friend. If you cherish a friendship and you value that relationship, just be his friend. But the man has a girlfriend. So do the right thing and keep your distance and go out there and try to get your own situation going with someone else. Next question. Question number two. It says, the question says, I like brilliant men who tend to have very high-powered public jobs. A politician's wife once told me to accept the price of admission when dating a man with a demanding job. But I also hear a man who wants to make time for you. I also hear a man who wants you makes time for you. What's realistic? What's realistic is to have a sense of understanding. Understanding the demands of your man's job, and really, like she said, accepting the price of admission and being patient. But the important thing is for you to be honest with yourself. If you like a man who's readily available for you whenever you need him, then you need to meet a man who places a value on that more than they do being in the office or always being readily available for their jobs. Because there's a lot of men that put family first, and you could find those men out there. Now, you said that you're the type of woman that likes men in high-powered public jobs. Well, most of those men attain those jobs by being very dedicated to work and put work first all the time. And you can't expect that to change just because they're in your life, because that isn't something that happens through, that isn't something that's developed through feelings. It's not like they're at their job all the time because they love their job. They're just hardwired with a different set of priorities. And the way that they see the world working is that if they take care of work, everything else, they take care of career, everything else will fall into place. That's this hardworking mentality, and the mentality that drives, and the thing that drives most men that are in high-powered public jobs, the drive is a matter of character, okay? So you have to deal with men who basically have a character that is such where the character is, I'm a hardworking guy, and that's what I care about. That's what I'm about. I'm not, you know, I enjoy a good woman. I know the value of having a good woman in my life. I do value love and a loving relationship and family, but those are all things that I cherish. But the thing that I'm conditioned to do, the thing that is in me, is to work hard every single day. So understand that he may care about you a lot, but he is not hardwired to put you above the job, and therefore he might not make as much time for you as you want him to. But it has nothing to do with how he feels and everything to do with who he is as a person. I hope that makes sense. Question number 3. Is it a bad sign when a woman tweets and Facebooks constantly about her relationship or engagement or partner when her partner slash fiance slash man doesn't make their relationship part of his digital presence? No, it's not a bad sign. I don't find it a bad sign, because you don't have any idea why the man is choosing not to, or not the man, just the other person. Because trust me, I've met women in real life, say they got boyfriends, and then you get on Facebook and you don't see any pictures with the boyfriends. You don't see any kind of relationship status. And hey, maybe they lied to me when we were in person. I don't really know. But my point is, both sexes do this. And I think a lot of times we do this because, we're trying to protect our privacy, and our situation is different from the last person. So he may choose to keep his relationship more private in regards to, you got to understand that our social network is different from our real life network. And I think what we need to do is stop placing such a big, large emphasis on broadcasting things to our social network, a large percentage of which is made up of people that we don't even really talk to and engage with, and probably won't invite to our weddings. And we need to really value who we inform about the personal things that are going on in our life. We need to value who we inform in our real life network. So I think that there needs to be some thorough understanding between the two parties as to whether or not that's acceptable. But as long as it's acceptable, I think that it's okay. It's not a bad sign at all. I mean, if especially if one of you is married, if one of you is putting the other person out there on blast all the time, I mean, there's only so much that person can do. So, I think that you sound like one of these protective friends, and I respect that, but don't try to stir up drama and convince this woman that her man is up to something simply because he doesn't want to broadcast his relationship on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Tumblr and all that jazz. See if they get married and how he treats it then. Now, if a man is married and he isn't putting that up on Facebook, I don't really know. I think that's kind of questionable. But I feel like, maybe, Facebook statuses are like virginity, some people just wait until they're married before they give it to someone else. So that's my guess, but no, I don't think it's a bad sign. Question number 4. I am reaching a point where I realize how overrated smart is in a woman. The value of being smart, she means. Men usually care that you're not dumb, can hold a combo, but it's not really a deal breaker how smart a woman is. Have you ever known men who had intellect as their dating priority? I don't know. It's tough to say. I do know this. In the conversations that I've had with my guys, they do place a bigger value on a woman that knows what she's talking about and a woman that can at least hang with them in terms of talking about the things that are important to them, certain issues and current events. Just be informed. nobody likes, I don't even think that women really appreciate a man that thinks that he knows everything. I know this firsthand because I'm a man that thinks I know everything sometimes, and I've had women check me on that because nobody likes to feel like they're less smart than the other person. But I wouldn't say smart is an overrated quality. I would just say that sometimes people do have a tendency to underrate it. And therefore, when you come in contact with somebody that isn't recognizing how smart you are, it's probably because they don't put that high of a value on it. And then if you are very proud of how smart you are and you want somebody to appreciate that, then you have to find somebody who does. Because there are people who care that you know how to talk about American history, or you know how to talk about the sciences, or you're great with numbers, or you're great with technology and things of that nature. But as long as you don't try to show anyone up, and I'm not talking about a man, I'm talking about sometimes you have to give, if you date enough smart people, because trust me when I say I love a smart woman, I really, really, really do value a smart woman. That is one of my biggest, it turns me on, I'm into it, I like when a woman knows what she's talking about, I like when a woman can talk about various things. But I don't need you running around here always trying to upstage me with your vast knowledge of the world versus my vast knowledge of the world, okay? We're not about to play a game of it's academic, okay? We're not about to, you know, I'm a spelling bee champion, girl. You're going to try to outspell me now? I don't... did all that. I don't need to do all that again, okay? My spelling bee days are over, so you don't have to tell me that you know how to spell a word, and you don't have to challenge me, all right? I read, and it's just one of those things where I think for a lot of people, they really do want you to notice how smart they are. So they kind of show off what they know all the time, and they start using these big words for no apparent reason. And when the conversation starts taking on that sort of tone, that's when I kind of tune out, because I'm like, really? This is the kind of conversation that we're going to have right now. It doesn't make no sense. Why don't you say something sexy so we can get right back on track? And start, you know, just like change the topic. So what you are experiencing when you say that you realize how overrated smart is, what you're actually experiencing is you're meeting too many people who underrate that sort of thing. There is, you can be too smart for your own good, but I don't think that when it comes to relationships, you are, and it just can't be a bad thing. If your smarts intimidated somebody, then you probably didn't want that person in the first place. And I'm trying to tell you right now, I've seen too many women out there dumb it down for the sake of acquiring more men. And the only one you're fooling when you're doing that is yourself. So I encourage you to be as smart as you possibly can be, and hope that you find someone that's your equal. And more importantly, quit worrying about how people rate your intelligence. And what you should do is you should figure out how much you care about whether or not your partner is smart. Or if you just care that they're not dumb. So, yeah. Question number 5, the last question, is in regards to the post that I wrote yesterday. So real quick, let me go there to UntilIGetMarried.com. Yesterday's post was called "The Other Reason Street Harassment is Wrong." Somebody asked me, where did I get the idea for writing about street harassment? It, the, How much time do I have? Okay, because I try to keep these things under 30 minutes, and I have about 10 more minutes. So I'm going to try not to go on a 10-minute rant about this, but it's what I want to, like I said yesterday, street harassment, I said in the post explicitly, and I do believe this, street harassment is wrong. I've seen guys take it way too far when they're trying to get the attention of women. I think that this is wrong 100%. But what I don't believe is that the way that you change that person's, that the reason why it's so prevalent is because a lot of guys do not know how to approach a woman in the first place. This can either seem complicated and deep, or this can just seem be very surface. But I think that it's quite simple. People yesterday were leaving comments about how such an act is somebody said yesterday in the comment section that street harassment is rarely ever about communication skills. It's about exerting power over women and putting them in their place. And you're giving guys a lot of credit. You're giving a lot of knuckleheads way more credit than they deserve. This deeper psychological meaning behind behind what influences street harassment or the behavior that we see sometimes by men, save that for the lecture halls, okay? You can't diagnose these guys, and some of these guys just don't need a diagnosis that deep, okay? You want to prescribe them something, some pharmaceutical, and all they really need is an Aleve, okay? Because it's really that simple. These guys are not around enough women. Where does most street harassment take place? It takes place in rough, crime-ridden neighborhoods. What kind of population presides there? Largely men. And look, I could be wrong. You can throw some statistics and show me how, like, the poorest neighborhoods are actually dominated by women and whatnot. But when I walk through my hood in Harlem, I see a lot of guys on the corner. I don't ever see girls on the corner. I don't see that many girls on the corner. I see girls walking to work, walking to school, walking to whatever job they have. They're not the dudes. They're not with the dudes out there on the corner. And so therefore, most of the time, most of these dudes are around each other all of the time. And they don't know how to turn it down because they lack the social skills. Another big part of it, some dudes are lazy. And what does that have to do with anything? Well, if it worked once, it gives them every reason to keep on doing it. If all a brother had to do is stand on a wall and say, "Hey, girl, hey, come here real quick." And she came over and he talked her up for like 5 minutes and got her number. He says, "Man, I just have to sit here all day. I could just go ahead and holler at girls like that. I don't even have to step off this wall." And it works maybe once, maybe twice. Then it doesn't work. And he gets mad because he's seen it work before. So he's like, "What's wrong with you? I'm not good enough for you?" And then men start getting upset and start feeling rejected. And then they start exerting their power. Then they get aggressive. Because they don't know how to deal with rejection. And you know why they don't know how to deal with rejection? Because they haven't been around enough women to get rejected. Okay? I went to college. There are a lot of women in college. All right? You kind of learn how to get rejected. You kind of learn that there's a lot of fish in the sea. But when you come to these neighborhoods where you see a lot of street harassment take place, there's not a lot of fish in the sea. Their world is only so big. So when they go fishing and they think that they caught something, it's a big deal to them. It's a very big deal to them. So I really feel like we get bogged down in this very intellectual conversation about street harassment that I do feel is very valuable. But it's not being, it doesn't need to be had with the people that are actually committing it. When you talk to these young men out here and you want to tell them, look, man, stop that. Cut that out. You can't tell them that they're that the reason why they need to cut it out is just because it's wrong. Because honestly, that's if they don't feel like it's wrong, if they did feel like it was wrong, they probably wouldn't do it. Okay, they know that some girls don't like it, but they don't think that they're doing anything wrong. So how do you increase your odds of communicating effectively with these young men out here who are committing street harassment? Well, you tell them, look, bruh, I've seen you out here talking to these girls, trying to get these girls' attention, and it's clear you like them. It's clear you want them to give you attention back, and it's also clear that they're not giving you any back. Why do you think that is? Because you're doing it wrong. Because you don't know how to approach a lady. So what you need to do is you need to follow my lead. I'm going to show you the right way to approach a woman. This is a correct way to approach a woman. If a woman rejects you, this is a correct way to accept rejection. Because, man, these dudes want these girls that they're harassing. They do. They really do. They're hoping it works. I mean, a lot of guys have a sick, twisted mentality, thinking that women out there actually like the aggressive behavior. And without understanding the fact that some women do and some women don't. And the women that don't, there's nothing wrong with them. There is something wrong with you that you don't know how to turn down the volume on your approach. You don't know how to add any kind of like, any kind of charm to it. You need to learn these things. It doesn't take much. You can learn how to do this. And I think that sometimes is the kind of the way that we need to talk to these young men who are out here committing street harassment. Talk to them, because like I said, street harassment is wrong. Approaching a woman walking down the street is not. I don't feel that's wrong, as long as your intentions are positive, as long as you do so in a respectful manner. I feel like, hey, go out there. She's walking by, no man, no ring on her finger. She looks single. You could at least inquire and do so respectfully. But how do you do it respectfully? You got to teach these young men how to do that. So, you know, it's one of those things that I'm probably going to be getting involved with more and more. There was a website, I think it's called stopstreetharassment.org. Yeah, or .com, stopstreetharassment.com. I'm probably going to reach out to them because I care about this topic. I don't want to see women out there harassed. And I don't want to see men out there making themselves look like fools and idiots and playing into all these kinds of stereotypes that women have of men. If I could take a group of young men and I was told you have to convince these young men to stop harassing women on the street, the way that I would do it is I would tell them, hey, let me show you the effective way to approach a woman on the street. And when I say effective, I mean you. It's about respect. It's not always about getting the number. It's about getting the respect. And you never know, that woman could walk by again, and the next time you say hi to her, she smiles. And then you say hi to her again another day, and she smiles some more. And then she smiles again, and then she says hi to you without you even saying hi to her. Hey, I don't know. I've been rejected, so I don't have all the answers. But I know that there's more than one answer out there to give, and that's what I'm trying to do. So that's it, folks. Those are the five questions of the 32nd edition of the Poppin' Questions podcast. I want to thank you all for joining me. We're going to try to do these on a weekly basis, but I'm not going to promise you that. What else? Oh, yeah, please visit me untilIGetMarried.com. I'm posting a lot more often than I have in quite some time, so enjoy it, comment, whatever. Also, if you go scroll down to the post on January 30th, 2012, the last week I was on Dr. Harry Fish's show. He's kind of, he's a doctor in the New York area, has a syndicated show on terrestrial radio. That's part of the checkup.com. You can check to see where it airs, what time, what station it airs in your area, but it's broadcast all over the country. It's a men's health show. And I was brought in as a special guest. I'm a contributor now every once in a while to the checkup.com. I touch on relationship issues, and I'll be coming in there every now and then to discuss certain relationship topics with Dr. Harry Fish and those who call in, because it's talk radio, call-in radio, so a lot of people call in. The last subject that I talked about with him was erectile dysfunction in young men. So, yeah, got a little bit crazy there. What else? I think that's it for right now. So, we're just past the 30-minute mark, and I want to get out of here. I don't want to hold you all up anymore. I hope that you all enjoyed the Poppin' Questions podcast. Please, please, please do not hesitate to reach out to me with any of your questions. You could hit me at feedback@untilIGetMarried.com. You could feel free to Facebook me. Until I Get Married has a Facebook page, but you can go ahead and message me. You can also hit me on Twitter at JoesNC, twitter.com/JoesNC, or you can hit me up at FormSpring to send in your questions. I won't know who you are. Even if you email me the question, I won't reveal your identity. But yeah, FormSpring, FormSpring.me/JoesNC. That's where you can go ahead and that's another place where you can go ahead and send me the questions. So thank you all very much once again for joining me. This has been the Poppin' Questions podcast. I'm your host, JoesN. I will see you all and answer the next round of questions sooner rather than later. Be blessed, y'all.